All right, shit shows. Breathe to Heal is officially back, and this time we're going deeper than ever before. The theme of this third round is release and receive, releasing everything that's been stuck for way too long so you can finally receive the peace, love, and safety I know you've been craving. The 7-week healing journey goes beyond talk therapy by working directly with your nervous system using breathwork, somatic practices, and parts work to give you the kind of healing your body has been waiting for. This is all facilitated by fellow shit show member and certified somatic and breathwork practitioner Teresa, who's just added some fresh breathwork certifications to her toolkit. And the best part of all, this all happens right within the shit show healing community. So think of it like a healing journey where you can show up exactly as you are, like you're hanging out with your friends on the couch in your pajamas, instead of feeling like you're in some stuffy environment. So this all kicks off on Tuesday, January 13th, and early bird pricing is on through December 11th. So you, yes you, the person that's been wanting to sign up for the past two rounds but hasn't, how about we do the damn thing already, okay? Head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. That is breathe with an E at the end. adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal to learn more and grab your damn spot. There are wounds that never show on the body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds. My name is Andrea, and this is Adult Child. Welcome back to Adult Child, where we take a deep dive into the impact of growing up in a dysfunctional family. Ahoy, my dear shit shows. For any new listeners, my name is Andrea. I am a total and complete shit show, and I am just another bozo on this bus trying to heal just like you. I am here sharing about the mess of my childhood, the mess that childhood has created for me in my life as an adult, the mess that that childhood has still created for me at times while on this healing journey in a very raw, vulnerable, and filterless way. Because y'all, somebody has got to do it, right? Somebody has got to do it. So welcome aboard this hot mess of a healing chip. And today, folks, we got a solo episode for you. You're just getting me today. And we are diving deep into what we actually mean when we say the body keeps the score. We are diving deep into the mechanics of how your childhood is still very much alive inside of you. And we are going to break it down into the two core ways that it is. Number one, how these experiences live on in our memory and our nervous system as fragmented memories. Now, this is the piece that causes us to experience emotional flashbacks. Second is we're looking at the survival energy that is stuck inside of our bodies, the physiological energy that was created when we went into fight-flight mode as kids that lives on in our body, in our nervous system. Because here is the deal. Healing requires that we address both of these things because they are two sides of the same trauma coin. We can only get so far by only addressing one side of the coin. And boy, do I know this personally, okay? I know this firsthand. When we are only addressing things through the lens of fragmented memories, which is what I did, we will start to make sense of our triggers. We will understand why certain emotions hit us out of nowhere. We will begin to put together a more coherent story of what the hell happened to us during our childhoods. All of those things are super, super valuable. However, we are not addressing, resolving what is happening, what happened in our body. On the flip side, if we are only working with that stored survival energy piece, you will definitely reduce physical symptoms. This can help calm these survival states that we live perpetually in. This can give us a greater sense of ease in our body. But if we're never addressing the fragmented memory piece, you will still find yourself getting triggered, going into emotional flashbacks, confused and convinced that what you're experiencing has everything to do with the present moment and not realizing that you are just reenacting a scene from your childhood. And so in either scenario, in one way or the other, we will still find ourselves hijacked, a hostage to our childhood experiences. So we are going to be breaking down both sides of this complex trauma coin. what the hell happened to us as kids, what the hell is going on with us now as adults, and what the hell we need to do about this in order to heal. With a real emphasis, though, on this second point, on this leftover survival energy piece that lives in our bodies. Because, y'all, that is the part that I did not fully understand when I started this podcast. Like, I got it cognitively, but I didn't really get it, okay? That is the part that I didn't fully understand until about 5 or 6 years into this healing journey, when I was the host of this podcast, and I found myself in a trauma bond hellhole with an active alcoholic, feeling crazier than ever, wondering how the hell I ended up here. That is when I fully understood how the body keeps the score on a visceral level, on a personal level. And if you want to hear that whole story, you can go back and listen to, that was my first episode back after taking a long hiatus. The episode is called Trauma Bonded No More. I will put a link to that in the show notes. It is worth a listen. So I'm going to break this all down for you in an easily digestible way, in a way that doesn't require you to read multiple 300 plus page books. This is all the shit I wish I had explained to me when I first started on this healing journey, in hopes that you will walk away with a better understanding of how the body keeps the score, how your body is keeping the score, and what you can do about this. So let's get the damn show on the road. But first, let's talk about why you, yes, you need to damn the Join Shit Show, my online support community where we have a minimum of 6 weekly Zoom support groups where you can connect with other fellow shit shows who are doing the damn work to heal. And I really just want to touch upon for a moment, what makes this shit show ship so special? What makes this shit show ship a little different from your average recovery community or from your typical ACA group? First of all, is that we do put a really big emphasis on this trauma component, right? Most of the readings that I put together for our groups really dig into this complex trauma piece, really look at the nervous system. I put a lot of thought and time into crafting those readings, which end up in us having these really rich and meaningful conversations. And I have to say that our groups are this perfect balance of deep, fulfilling discussion paired with just the right amount of clowning around and well-placed F-bombs, okay? The second thing is that there is not a heavy God component to this. We are not praying at the start and end of every group. While higher power does come up at times, it's not a key focus here. And lastly, above all else, is just this deep sense of built-in safety that really makes next level vulnerability possible. I don't know how to put it into words. There truly is no place else out there like it. So you, yes, you, the person that's been wanting to join for forever. Yeah, you, the person that just checked behind your back to see if I was standing there and staring at you. How about today's the day? Okay, for less than $1 a day, you can hop aboard this damn healing ship. We're waiting for you already, okay? So go to the link in the show notes, or you can go to adultchildpodcast.com/shitshow. Do it. Do it already. Next, give me a little follow on Insta, on TikTok, at adultchildpod. And last but not least, whatever you do, please, please, please give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple, on Spotify. Thank you. Love you all. All right, y'all, let's dive in, shall we? So this first piece of this body keeps the score coin is this fragmented memory piece. It is the way that our brain and our nervous system store these traumatic experiences in a fragmented way. And this is what leads us into those lovely little emotional flashbacks. And I think most of us know what they are and how the hell they feel. Not so great. But just in case, an emotional flashback is when we have these big emotional reactions that we're absolutely convinced are about whatever is happening right now, but they're actually all about something that is unresolved from our childhood. It is when we have these reactions that seem way out of proportion to the given situation at hand. And you know what? Sometimes people can get a little sensitive, a little touchy when I say we're having a reaction that is out of proportion, like it's some kind of judgment, but no shame here, y'all. No shame. I personally am totally comfortable saying that the times that I felt like I was going to die when somebody didn't text me back after 10 minutes, that is a clear example, in my opinion, of an outsized reaction. But we are talking about those times when our reactions don't really match to whatever is going on in the moment. And so what causes this, right? So when we go into fight flight mode, and let me just say, I think that this is important to note here, that we need to remember that for a child, there are things that will send a child into fight flight mode that wouldn't send us into survival mode as an adult, right? Like, things don't actually need to be life threatening for a child to be sent into a survival state. So I think it's important to remember that we're not just, you know, solely looking back on these experiences with the perception and perspective as adults. But I digress. So when we go into fight flight mode, and this occurs whether we are a child or an adult, what happens in the brain is that the limbic system, the emotional part of our brain, it's also the survival part of our brain, it goes into high gear and it starts driving the brain bus, while the rational part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, gets pushed all the way to the back seat and is completely offline. Now, what happens as a result of this is that a clear and coherent memory is never formed. Why? Because the prefrontal cortex is also responsible for creating a clear story. It is responsible for taking all of these bits and pieces of this experience, timestamping it with a beginning, a middle, and end, and storing it away as a full memory. What happens instead is that this experience gets stored inside our memory and our nervous system as fragments and feelings just floating around there all willy-nilly. And so then we enter adulthood, and these fragmented memories get triggered. Now, there are a few different ways that these fragmented memories can get triggered. The first way is through some kind of sensory data point that reminds you of the original experience. So that could be something that you smell, that could be something that you see or taste. It could be something that you hear, like someone saying a particular phrase that was said in the past. It could be a certain kind of touch, like a pat on the back, or a particular way that someone touches your shoulders. All of those things are sensory triggers. Another way that this can get triggered, and this is a big one for us adult children, is through relational cues. So this is not getting a text back. This is receiving criticism or feedback. This is noticing a sudden change in someone's tone of voice or in someone's mood. This could be, you know, being excluded from a group or not being invited somewhere. Or lastly, these fragmented memories can be triggered without any sort of external trigger at all, but purely by some sort of internal cue, just a feeling or a thought that arises within you, like a wave of anxiety or an intrusive thought that comes out of nowhere. It could even be like a change in your own body sensations, like your heart starts racing out of nowhere for no clear reason. So when one of these fragmented memories get triggered, boom, we go into an emotional flashback. And there are several things that happen all at once, which create this whole experience of an emotional flashback. The first thing being our implicit emotional memory kicks in, which means we feel the exact same emotions that we felt back then. It is like we get into a time machine and it takes us right back to that childhood scene, along with the various beliefs that we may have formed about ourselves or the world or other people at that time. The other thing that kicks in is our implicit procedural memory. Now, these are all of the coping mechanisms. These are all of our trauma responses that we developed to handle those experiences, whether that be mind-based coping mechanisms. So this is overthinking or obsessing over every single little detail to feel in control. This could be constantly self-criticizing or analyzing yourself to avoid mistakes. It's basically any mental strategy that your brain uses to try to protect you from feeling those old emotions. It could be relational-based coping mechanisms. This is the laundry list. How we interact with people, people-pleasing, avoiding conflict at all costs, always taking on the caretaker role, seeking reassurance constantly from other people. Or it could be body-based coping mechanisms, the things that we do to our physical self to try to calm ourselves down. So this is substances, alcohol, drugs, nicotine. This is food. This is acting out sexually. This is over-exercising. This is oversleeping. This is staying constantly busy. And then the final piece that encapsulates this emotional flashback is that we also re-experience the body memory, the physical sensations that we had at that time. So like a tight chest or a sinking feeling in your stomach. There is, however, one big thing that does not happen at all. And that is we don't get any kind of visual memory. Unlike a typical flashback, where you might actually see images from those past experiences, with an emotional flashback, there is no visual component to it at all. And that is why we have no damn clue that what we're feeling is actually about the past and not about the present moment. One last thing just to note here on emotional flashbacks, and that is to say that these are not one size fits all. They can show up in varying degrees of intensity. Sometimes they can be totally all-encompassing, especially when our abandonment wound is getting triggered, where you literally feel like you can't function at all. However, other times, you know, they might be milder, like just like a wave of emotion that throws you off some, but it doesn't like completely knock you out of commission. All right, so now that we've covered how these fragmented memories live inside of us and how they hijack us in the form of emotional flashbacks, let's now talk about the fun part, shall we? What the hell do we actually do about it? So in order to heal these fragmented memories, we need to do work. We need to do healing work on a limbic system level. And that is because the limbic system is where these emotions and these fragmented memories are stored. And the goal here is to create that sense of emotional safety so we can actually access and process them. I don't know if you can hear my cat scratching the carpet right now. I apologize if you can. Can you please stop, Cheeto? And over time, this helps us to turn those fragmented... Let me back up here. So again, the goal here of this limbic system level healing is to create that sense of emotional safety so that we can actually access and process them. And so over time, this helps us to turn those fragmented memories into a coherent narrative and to understand our triggers better. But let's be real, folks. The goal here isn't to never have an emotional flashback ever again, because that is not realistic. But what we can do is we can make them happen a whole hell of a less often. We can turn down the intensity when they do happen, and we can build tools to handle them when they do come up. And there are a lot of different ways to engage the limbic system and help heal those fragmented memories. One big example would be EMDR and bilateral stimulation, which are more direct physiological ways to help the brain reprocess and integrate those memories. And I will just say, like, my personal opinion here on EMDR is that it is especially effective when it is being used to treat more big T trauma. However, it still can be helpful for treating complex PTSD as well. Just from what I've observed and heard from other people, I do think it is most effective when it is being used to treat more so that big T shock trauma. We also have like various forms of experiential and expressive therapies like psychodrama, art therapy, dance therapy, and inner child work. All of those can help you access and heal those deeper emotional layers. But personally, what I believe to be the most powerful way to do this limbic system level healing, is through therapeutic relationships. And by that, I don't just mean working with a therapist, though that definitely is an option. But when I say therapeutic, What I really mean is a relationship that is healing, beneficial, and supportive to your well-being. A relationship that creates a safe space where you can revisit those emotions in a supportive environment. It's that sense of safety and connection that really allows us to access that limbic system, that allows it to relax and to bring those fragments up to the surface. And by talking about them and feeling them and making sense of them in a safe space, in a safe relationship, we're helping the brain reprocess and integrate those memories into a coherent narrative. When it comes to these therapeutic relationships with an actual therapist, what it all boils down to, folks, is the quality of the therapeutic relationship and the therapist's understanding of complex trauma. So if you have a therapist who really gets it, who really understands the nuances of complex PTSD, of dysfunctional family dynamics, and who really makes you feel deeply understood, and that I would say is probably the most important part, then yes, you can absolutely access those fragmented memories and get this limbic system level of healing. On the other hand, if you're in a talk therapy setting where the therapist doesn't really have that deeper understanding of your experience, or maybe you just don't feel that feeling of being truly seen, of feeling truly heard, then it's going to be rather hard for your limbic system to ever feel safe enough for you to reprocess those memories in a meaningful way. It might be helpful to you in some ways, but it may not reach that deeper level of healing because you're never really getting that sense of you truly get what I've been through. You know, if you are regularly leaving your therapist's office feeling worse, feeling super dysregulated, and that is lasting for like more than 24 hours, and that is happening on a regular basis, if you are frequently feeling dread before your therapist's appointment, that is probably a sign that this is not a relationship that is making you feel seen, heard, and understood, okay? But another type of therapeutic relationship that is not a therapist would be by being a part of a peer community like The Shit Show, like ACA, or being in some sort of, you know, group healing program like Breathe to Heal or something similar like that. Being in a safe space where you truly feel seen and heard by others who share similar experiences can be just as powerful, if not more so, than a formal therapeutic setting. You know, in a therapist's office, even when it feels safe and we feel understood, there still is often a bit of a hierarchical dynamic. You know, the therapist is the professional and you're the client, which can be really helpful, but it's a different kind of relationship. You know, when you are in a peer group, you're all on the same level, you're all in it together. There is this sense of you get me because you've been there too. And that kind of shared lived experience can create a really powerful sense of belonging and safety, and one that I hope you all get to experience one day. And it really tells your limbic system, like, hey, you know, I'm not alone in this. I'm understood. I'm accepted. And that feeling of truly being seen by peers can sometimes really reach places in our brain and our heart that even, you know, the best therapist out there might not be able to touch in quite the same way. And so it's not that, you know, one is better than the other, but a peer community, peer support can sometimes offer a uniquely powerful form of limbic system engagement. And also, there is something very healing of hearing the experiences of others. It really, really, really does help us to make sense of our own experiences. So, folks, to end off this little section on fragmented memories, I wanted to circle back to something that I said in my first episode back, the one where I shared the whole trauma bonded no more saga. And that is a comment that I made, that I said that I had realized when I came out of it on the other side, like one of the big things that I realized, that all of the healing that I had done up until that point had been purely on an intellectual level. And I realized that that statement was not accurate. That statement was not true. The healing work that I have been doing, had been doing all along up until that point, it had all been on a limbic system level. you know, on top of being a part of the Shit Show community, you know, I worked with an amazing therapist for 6 years, someone who really knew this shit like the back of her hand, someone who was an adult child herself, and someone who really helped me to process those fragmented memories. She helped me create a clear, coherent narrative of my childhood experiences. And, you know, I reached a point as a result of doing all of that work. And actually, I'd reached that point before that whole, you know, regression in my healing happened, where I could recognize when I was having an emotional flashback in real time. Like, in other words, you know, I'm not confused about whether my reaction is about the present moment or the past. Like, I got to a point where I knew it was an echo of my childhood experiences, and I had developed the tools to, you know, be able to handle those flashbacks when I found myself in them. But what I had not done, what I had not addressed, was the somatic piece. You know, up until that point, the only kind of somatic work that I had really done in a respectable manner was, you know, sitting in those emotional flashbacks and just letting myself feel the feelings. I hadn't yet touched that survival energy that was living in my body at all. And honestly, I wasn't even really aware that it existed. Like I said, I mean, I understood it intellectually, but I didn't truly get it on a gut level. And that stored survival energy was just hanging out, chilling in my body. And that definitely played a huge role in causing me to, you know, to be stuck in functional freeze for 9 months. And it wasn't until I started doing this somatic work that I actually started to release that energy, that I finally started to thaw out of that freeze and enter a more regulated state. And now I just want to share that with you all in hopes that you don't have to end up in a trauma bond with an active alcoholic to come to this realization for yourself. Because this body piece, this somatic piece, this stored survival energy that is just hanging out in the background, whether you're aware of it or not, is just as important as addressing the fragmented memory side of the coin. It is absolutely vital, crucial, and necessary. It is by integrating both sides of these coins that truly allows for a deeper level of healing.
All right, Shit Shows, did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common nutritional gaps? It affects 1 in 3 adults, and especially women. It often shows up as fatigue, brain fog, weakness, brittle nails. But the problem is that most people don't realize that low iron may be the cause of these issues. That's why I'm here to tell you about Siderol from Pharma Nutra. This is a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while also avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea, constipation, and all that fun stuff. It is clinically proven to be comparable to IV iron and is formulated with just 2 ingredients, iron and vitamin C. It's vegan, allergen-free, gluten-free. You can take it anytime, anywhere. So if you're that 1 out of 3 with an iron deficiency, head to pharmanutra-us.com and use code ADULTCHILD for 10% off your first order. That is pharmanutra-us.com, promo code ADULTCHILD for 10% off today.
Does anyone really know what hormones do? Like, there's so much talk around women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what the hell to do about that. So, Shit Shows, let's leave this confusion behind as we head into the holiday season, shall we? Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, and a sense of balance. Perfect for enjoying the holidays and heading into the new year energized. And Happy Mammoth, the company that produces Hormone Harmony, is famous for its zero compromise policy. No GMOs, artificial fillers or flavor, or any other junk. Only science-backed ingredients in amounts that are clinically proven. So this holiday season, give yourself or the woman in your life the gift of wellness. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That is happymammoth.com, code adultchild for 15% off today. All right, chit-shows, the holidays are here, and if you still have names on your list, if you have gifts that you still need to buy, what the heck are you doing? Okay, because I've been telling you about Uncommon Goods for the past 2 months, who make holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You will discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. They look for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade, and they have something for everyone, for mom, dad, kids, teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, you name it, they got it. Listen to what I just stumbled upon. I just stumbled upon a crochet your own emotional support desk plant kit, a DIY kit for you to be able to crochet an emotional support desk plant. There's got to be somebody out there that has a crocheter in their life that needs this emotional support desk plant. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. And so to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/adultchild. That's uncommongoods.com/adultchild for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So on that note, let us proceed and dive into this leftover survival energy that never got fully released. Basically, it is that fight or flight energy that got triggered in our childhood and then got stuck in the body because it never had a chance to be discharged. It is like your body's alarm system got switched on and never quite got switched the hell off. Now, I'm sure many of y'all are probably familiar with the analogy that comes from Peter Levine. He is the founder of Somatic Experiencing, and he often talks about how animals in the wild shake off this leftover fight or flight energy after they go through a stressful event. So for example, you'll hear about, you know, like a gazelle, after it narrowly escapes being eaten by a cheetah, you will see it literally tremble and shake its body once it's safe. And that trembling and that shaking is that gazelle's way of completing the stress cycle or the fight-flight cycle and releasing that survival energy from its bodies. But as humans, and especially as kids, we don't do this naturally. We don't get to just, you know, shake it off like animals do, because we just don't have a safe way to release this, or we don't even realize that that's a thing. I mean, let's be honest. How many people out there other than us, I guess it may be becoming more common knowledge, but I don't think many people are thinking like, oh, I just went through that traumatic experience. I need to shake my body. I need to tremble my body. And so instead, that energy just stays stuck in our system. It gets stored in our fascia and in our muscles, in our nervous system wiring, and in those specific tension spots or body areas that are unique to each of us. And from there, we basically just end up living in this constant low-grade survival state without even realizing it, because it feels like our normal, because it is all we have ever known. And for some of us, this might show up as this mild but constant hypervigilance of always being on guard, bracing for something to go wrong. For others, it is more of a numb a shutdown state, you know, feeling disconnected, spaced out, almost like this, like, you know, protective emotional fog that we are constantly experiencing. But here's the deal. So while we might be living in that low-grade survival state as our baseline, it can absolutely escalate into something that is much more intense, into a chronic or acute survival mode. And one of the most common ways that this shows up for us shit shows is that we slip into some form of functional freeze. And so it is no longer this like low level hum of survival. it becomes something that is more acute, where we are essentially stuck in a frozen state while still functioning on the surface. And I want to dive into functional freeze for a bit because, as I've stated before, you know, I think that there are a shitload of people out there that are currently living in functional freeze and have no damn clue that they are, because I was one of these individuals. And so probably about, I don't know when it was, maybe like 6 or 9 months ago, I did a series of YouTube videos that I called The Many Faces of Functional Freeze, where I went over three different types, three different versions, three different flavors of functional freeze that I want to just touch upon briefly here. I'll also put a link to those videos in the show notes, but I would just like to call out these three unique faces because, like I said, there's a lot of us that are experiencing this that don't know. So I'd like for you to be able to hear and identify if perhaps this is one of you. So the first face that I came up with, this is the version of functional freeze that I experienced, is the stuck and shame-filled overthinker. So this phase of functional freeze shows up in people who know what they need to do or want to do, but are just completely fucking incapable of taking action. You know, on the outside, they may look somewhat functional. You know, they may be answering a few emails, showing up to the obligations, but on the inside, they feel mentally exhausted, frozen, overwhelmed, and shut down. Their nervous system is like, you know, quietly pushing the brake anytime they need to move forward, just like creating this cycle of stuckness, of overthinking, of avoidance, and worst of all, just like such intense shame. So this is like a quiet version of freeze. It is like invisible to others, but it is so internally chaotic. And like the major signs and symptoms here are chronic procrastination. You are determined to be productive, but the hours pass and nothing meaningful ever gets started or finished. Paralysis at the moment of action. So like when you try to finally sit down and act, your brain hits a wall and your body just like does not simply move. Constant overthinking and spinning. You loop through options. You second guess everything. You are stuck in numbing behaviors and escapism, phone addiction, y'all, candy crushing, y'all, distracting for hours just to avoid the feeling of that stuckness, that anxiety, and that intense shame of doing nothing day after day after day. And you're just like strangely drained by even taking small efforts. And then the biggest piece here, well, it was the biggest piece for me and the most painful piece of this for me was these shame-filled nightly spirals where at the end of the day, you know, you just spiral into this self-blame and just like wondering like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, why can't you just get it together? So phase two, this would be the over-functioning fixer is what I called it. So this phase of functional freeze looks nothing like the stereotypical image of freeze. Instead of shutting down, this version speeds up. This is the person that appears highly capable, productive, reliable, in control. This is like the strong one that everyone counts on. But internally, they are emotionally disconnected from themselves. They feel nothing. They are running on empty. And they are operating from a nervous system that is just like completely frozen beneath the surface. So they are doing everything for everyone else, staying in motion at all times, avoiding stillness at all costs because slowing down would mean actually feeling whatever the hell is in there. So the biggest signs here is like the chronic over-responsibility. So you feel responsible for everything and everyone. You are automatically stepping in to fix, manage, hold everything together. You use productivity as emotional regulation. So you stay relentlessly busy, doing, fixing, achieving, because the moment that you slow down, you feel anxiety, you feel discomfort, you feel feelings that you'd rather avoid. Rest feels wrong to you. So when you finally stop, you know, guilt, panic, or unease just like rushes in and makes rest feel extremely unsafe or selfish or undeserved. You are completely emotionally disconnected from yourself. You are highly functioning on the outside, but collapsing on the inside. Asking for help or asking for what you need feels unsafe. It feels shameful. It might even feel dangerous. So you minimize your needs and prove your worth by just endlessly showing up for everyone else. And then the final face, y'all, is the detached and disconnected floater. So this phase of functional freeze is the most quiet, the most invisible of them all. Rather than, you know, spiraling into shame like my version or overfunctioning to cope like the fixer, this is the person who just feels completely absent from their own life. Like they are technically here, y'all, but internally, they just feel completely disconnected, distant, numb, foggy. It feels like, you know, life is something that they're just observing from the outside instead of being a participant in it. Motivation is really low. Their emotional availability is really low. And everything just feels like really muted, flat, and far away. So, it feels like you move through your days on autopilot. You're present in your body. But like I said, it's like you're watching your life from afar. Instead of big feelings, you just feel like muted, gray, nothingness. There's no real joy or excitement. There's not even like really any sadness. It's just kind of this constant low grade blah. You can't name your needs, your wants, your emotions. You are extremely disconnected from others. Like you want closeness from other people, but you feel disconnected in a relationship. It feels like there is this invisible wall that is keeping you from fully connecting to other people. And kind of underneath this numbness lives like this quiet mix of like futility and grief, I guess would be like the best way to explain it. Like you feel broken, you feel detached from your life and from your potential. So who related out there, right? Who the hell just realized, holy shit, I'm living in functional freeze? And again, you can go and watch those videos where I go into more detail into all of those faces of functional freeze. So let's move on. So in addition to this low grade or more acute survival mode that we may find ourselves living in, the other way that this survival energy shows up is through these protective body postures and chronic muscular tension. And so this is what psychoanalyst William calls muscular armor. So the body's way of defending against overwhelming feelings or perceived threats. So he basically observed that, you know, people often developed these unconscious patterns of muscle tension to protect themselves emotionally, and that these eventually become like fixed in their posture and in their movement. So some common examples of this is like commonly for people who experienced shame during their childhood, they may like constantly hold their chest like collapsed inward. People with suppressed rage may constantly clench their jaws or their fists without even really realizing it. This often shows up in our hips. And for me, the way that this showed up was tension in my shoulders. So my shoulders were permanently glued up to my ears. And I probably first noticed that I did this maybe 2 years ago. And, you know, I started to like consciously tell myself to drop my shoulders down. But before you know it, as soon as I check again, they were all the way the hell back up there again, like all the way back up to my ears without me consciously realizing that I had raised them up there again. It was so unconscious. It was so automatic. And, you know, I had been dealing with tight shoulders and a tight neck for probably like 10 years, like the past 10 years without ever considering connecting the dots that this was perhaps related to stored trauma in the body. And honestly, I didn't do much about it. You know, at a certain point, I did start to get regular massages to deal with it. And I mean,
it didn't really make anything better. I guess it helped from making things worse for like a certain period of time, but eventually it escalated to where I started to get this tingling feeling down my back and into my arm. And just every day, by the end of the day, I was in so much damn pain. But like we often do, right? I just pushed through it. Like it was painful, but it wasn't that painful. And then it was a year and a half ago. It was like during the last few months of being stuck in that functional freeze. I did something when I was working out, and the whole right side of my upper body went numb for over a month. And that was the wake up call that I needed to finally, take some real action to figure out what the hell was going on with me. And as a result of taking that action, I learned that I had stage 2 disc degeneration between 2 of the vertebrae in my neck. And y'all, that is what happens over time. As a result of, living in these constant survival states and, holding all these chronic muscular tensions and body postures, is that it then can escalate into major physical illness. We are talking about autoimmune conditions. We're talking about chronic pain, gut issues, structural issues like what I suffered from, and just any sort of ailment that just like shows what happens from the long-term impact of this stored survival energy in our body. And so I did just want to like outline a few signs that might hint that what you're dealing with could actually be linked to stored trauma, to this stored survival energy in your body. So, any sort of persistent tension or pain, like if you've had chronic muscle tension, shoulders, neck, stiff jaw, anything that never fully resolves with regular treatments, should be a clue for you. Any sort of like unexplained physical symptoms, like if you've seen a doctor multiple times for things like digestive issues, migraines, chronic pain, and they have not found a clear medical cause for this, that is a big sign to look at this through the lens of stored trauma. Any sort of patterns of numbness and tingling, if you notice any sort of odd sensations that come and go, especially if they come and go during times of stress, that can be another clue. Emotional triggers that lead to physical flare-ups. So if certain emotional triggers or memories seem to lead to physical symptoms like headaches or muscle pain, that's a sign. Physical symptoms that flare up with stress. So that is just a few things to know. Oh, also too, another thing is frequent startle response. This is something that I like started to experience myself. If you find yourself easily startled or jumpy, even in relatively safe situations, that also can be a big sign that your body is holding on to this survival pattern. All right, Chichos, so we have covered quite a lot of ground here today already. And while I am not going to dive into all of this somatic healing stuff today, that's something that we'll cover in next week's episode, I do want to, though, emphasize that this process really is about a few key things. First, it is about learning tools to regulate yourself when you find your nervous system in one of these heightened states. It is also about expanding your window of tolerance so you can handle a bit more distress in your body without feeling so overwhelmed. And it is also about exploring different modalities that help discharge that stored survival energy in your body, such as the emotional release breathwork that we do as part of Breathe to Heal. This upcoming cohort of Breathe to Heal, we will have 3 separate sessions where we're doing this emotional release breathwork. But most importantly, the first step in all of this is simply becoming aware of your body, which is something that is a struggle for many of us. A lot of us have no awareness of our body. So I want to just leave you with some questions to help you start noticing and tuning into what your body may be telling you. And just so you can start to gauge, like, what the hell is my level of awareness with my own body?
So whether this is, you know, some of these things, if you can do them right now or if you can just do them in the coming days, that would be great. Here are, you know, a few ideas. So whenever you get an opportunity, I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to take a deep breath. And I want you to see, like, can you even notice feeling your feet on the ground? Or can you notice the surface that you're sitting on? Like, how connected do you feel to the physical support that is beneath you? You know, as you take a deep, slow breath in, are you able to notice any areas of tension or tightness in your body? Is there a particular spot that calls your attention? Do you notice any areas that feel warmer or cooler? Do you notice any sensations in your body? Like, is there any tingling or numbness that you feel anyway? Are there any spots in your body that feel particularly relaxed or at ease? Like, notice if there is anywhere in your body that feels comfortable or neutral, even if it is just a small area. Some questions to help you cue into, like, your awareness of body signals. So, you know, do you notice when you're hungry, or are you someone who often skips meals without realizing it until much later in the day? How about when you need to use the bathroom? Like, do you find yourself holding it in for long periods without noticing? Do you ever find yourself suddenly realizing that you are extremely thirsty or exhausted, almost as if you weren't aware of it creeping up on you? And then also too, like, let's notice, like, if you notice these protective body postures, or these places of chronic tension, like, do you also find yourself with your shoulders constantly up at your ears like I do? Or do you clench your jaws or your fists without you even realizing it? So just notice if there is a body posture that feels like a default, or, you know, like a place where tension typically likes to settle. Just want to say that tomorrow, December 11th, is the last day of early bird pricing for Breathe to Heal, Release and Receive. Get your damn spot, y'all, okay? This is like a perfect, gentle way for you to get in on this somatic healing. Get this early bird pricing while it lasts. I love you all so much, and I will see you all next week. Holding on to, just let it all go. What's making you slow now? Just let it all go. What you got to do, yeah? All right, shit shows. Breathe to Heal is officially back, and this time we're going deeper than ever before. The theme of this third round is release and receive, releasing everything that's been stuck for way too long so you can finally receive the peace, love, and safety I know you've been craving. The 7-week healing journey goes beyond talk therapy by working directly with your nervous system using breathwork, somatic practices, and parts work to give you the kind of healing your body has been waiting for. This is all facilitated by fellow shit show member and certified somatic and breathwork practitioner Teresa, who's just added some fresh breathwork certifications to her toolkit. And the best part of all, this all happens right within the shit show healing community. So think of it like a healing journey where you can show up exactly as you are, like you're hanging out with your friends on the couch in your pajamas, instead of feeling like you're in some stuffy environment. So this all kicks off on Tuesday, January 13th, and early bird pricing is on through December 11th. So you, yes you, the person that's been wanting to sign up for the past two rounds but hasn't, how about we do the damn thing already, okay? Head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal, that is breathe with an E at the end, adultchildpodcast.com/BREATHE to heal, to learn more and grab your damn spot.